Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Oh, well, hello, the internet, and welcome to, oh, what is this, season 115, maybe? Episode 4? Yes, we'll call it that, of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, bust open that skull, look inside, and say, oh, fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. Yippee. It's Thursday, January 9th, 2020. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Miles Gray LaRocca. And look, there will be some Rage Against the Machine-themed AKAs coming up, but I have not. My voice is not ready for that. But brace yourselves, because they are on the way. Shout out to at 3:45 a.m. for that name. Song's coming soon. Now, if I'm talking, that means Daddy is away.
Where is Daddy?
I don't. He's sick through the entire production schedule off. We're starting so late.
Daddy and, coughing.
But you know what? I send out the Zamboni signal, and who else
she
but
got
her?
Eventually,
my wonderful guest co-host, one of the faces of Mount Zeitmore. There will be no Mount Zeitmore unless her face is upon it. Frequent podcast guest, Jamie Loftus.
Hi.
Welcome.
I don't think I have an AKA. I thought of an Aerosmith themed AKA, and
why?
Then I got really ashamed and I didn't follow through on it.
Why are you ashamed of Aerosmith?
Because they're not good. Right?
Oh man, they fuck. Wow.
Wait, they got their own. They're the only band that got their own roller coaster. Okay.
Where?
In Florida, they got the Rocket Roller Coaster.
Oh shit, they had a video game too, I think.
Did
which
they?
Was also absolute garbage.
They'll license their shit to anybody. I respect that.
Yeah.
They're like Jason Derulo in that way. They'll just license their image to fucking anyone.
Who else does Jason Derulo license his image to?
I've seen him at the Wax Museum.
You have?
I've seen him at the Wax. Him and his, because you know, it's like his thing that he like always wants his dick to be visible, and that's like a compulsion that he has.
I did is not that?
Know that.
Well, oh,
is that from Cats?
It was covered in Cats, but he just has this weird media history of being like, oh yeah, you can take my picture, but like, make sure you get fucking bulge in there.
Hey, my dick in there?
It's his, he's got a huge dick. It's his thing.
It sucks when you reduce your personality to your big dick.
I can't shut up about it.
That's actually not big dick energy.
No.
I mean, it's very different. You don't lead with your big dick.
It's little small chode
energy.
It's
anything.
It's withered chode energy. But he's at the Wax Museum. He's got a huge dick at the Wax Museum.
Oh,
check
great.
It out.
Do you need to authorize them to make waxes of yourselves? Because they have so many. Oh, wow. Yeah, so a lot of people everybody who's there.
That's why they
didn't realize.
Don't they get a mold of you first to make sure it's accurate? Or they do like 3D laser?
Because Wax Museums are kind of littered with some randos where you're just like, oh, I wouldn't expect to see that person here. And that's the person who was really trying to be there.
You're like, wow. It's like, that's interesting. I didn't think I would see Tech from the Hawaii Real World cast as a wax figure.
Wow, what a pull.
Or even Jason Jason Derulo got his own special spot at the Wax Museum.
Yeah.
You're like, has he earned
I'm sure that's where the labels step in. You know, it's big wax and big music.
Wax.
They're all in cahoots. Anyway, who is that disembodied voice that we're hearing? That is our guest today. Please welcome comedian, actor, writer, and one of the stars of the Netflix sketch comedy show, Astronomy Club, Jonathan Braylock.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you for
having
me.
Thank you for being patient. You know, it's a chaotic day today.
It was a chaotic day.
It happens. It's 2020.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. can we start saying that?
No,
look, man, it's 2020.
It's 2020. We get it.
Yeah.
2020 is a different energy.
Before we get to know you, Jonathan, let's tell people what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about Emma Chamberlain. I don't know who that is, but apparently she's big time.
She got a bigger podcast than we do. Tell you that much.
Hey,
tell you that right
fair
now.
Enough.
I don't know. Not
second
verifiable.
Rate.
Well, I don't
second
know her.
Rate.
Yeah. I don't know her, so it's not real to me. Also, Donald Trump seems to be easing up on the tension for now. People were getting you've been drafted text messages apparently over the last few days.
And
the Army had to let people know that's not what's going on. We'll have to check in with the impeachment really quickly.
I'm talking about impeaching this creep.
And then talk a little bit about what's going on in the Democratic race for the nomination, because it seems like the centrist establishment is very, very weary and scared that Bernie Sanders actually has a very legitimate shot at this point, looking at some numbers. So
people are so mad.
Rise of Skywalker.
We'll go through the a New York State Assemblyman with an absolute humdinger of an explanation for why he crashed his state-issued SUV into a ditch drunkenly.
And the answer isn't alcohol.
it's a little of that, and mixed with a little bit of misogyny.
We'll have to talk about
the pizza ATM, which is now on a Florida University campus.
Right.
If you want to drive the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, we'll tell you how to do that. Also, there is some wacky ass Star Wars conspiracies going on that
I'm here for.
But like, it's getting into this post-truth phase.
Got it.
That's very similar to the thinking of QAnon, where it's almost like, hold on, but we're telling you the thing you're even like going off of is not true.
What's the character they're basing it on?
It's even more next level.
It's not.
It's high level. It's right. above me now.
Did you guys like Babu Freak?
Of course, I love Babu Freak. What a freak.
I gotta get Babu Freak.
Yeah.
I saw it the second time. I was like, Babu Freak hits better the second time.
Honestly, the real war right now is between Babu Freak and Baby Yoda.
Oh, 100%.
who's cuter?
Babu Freak, will hack Baby Yoda's brain.
I'm a Babu Freak head, yeah.
Ooh, are you a Babu F-R-E-A-K?
I'm a Babu Freak.
Okay, and other stories too, as the time goes on. But first, Jonathan, what is something from your search history that reveals a little bit about who you are?
I mean, this is super boring, actually. But
Hit it.
But I was looking up my boy Rami Youssef, because he just won a Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wanted to know, because I feel like I know about his show, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've been friends since high school, actually.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But he made a joke when he gave the Golden Globe speech, like, I know none of you have seen my show, you know, and I kind of feel like that's true, and that's why everybody laughed.
Right. They're like,
and so I wanted to look up who was talking about him and what they were saying. And the internet is wild.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't go on that website, Twitter, did you?
No. That website was canceled. Yeah. 2020.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Officially canceled. Yeah, it's 2020, baby.
There was a lot. Obviously, you have a lot of support and stuff like that, but like the trolls were out in full force talking about, because he said, Allah Akbar, and you know, which just means like God is great. But like people were like, oh, he's like a secret terrorist, and like all these things that you would think that people would say, but you're like, are people really saying?
Yeah, like,
absolutely.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're all,
I'm sure.
All out there and stuff. So that was crazy. I went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah,
he didn't. Of course, he wouldn't do that. But I like to do it for. It's like it's so much easier when it's like somebody you know, and you're like, I can read all these because it's not personally affecting me.
Right.
You get to see what people say.
Yeah.
And if he wants the Cliff Notes, you can give it
exactly
to him.
Right.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, take
like,
the liberty.
Don't look yourself.
This is a Google Doc link. I just did some excerpts if you want to check them out.
That's a really good friend to be like, I checked out your internet abuse for you. I'll summarize it.
Yeah, I can summarize.
No need
it.
To get specific.
Yeah. I've never heard this term before, but I saw it used: affirmative action. Award.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
AAA,
that's what
baby?
They called it. And I was like, what does that even mean?
I don't know. I think that's how white people explain how when brown people do things.
Yeah. Oh, that's an affirmative action.
Oh, it's affirmative. Oh, he's got a car. It's affirmative action. Oh, he got a job. It's affirmative action.
When someone galaxy brains some very simple achievement, like an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, you know what's funny? Like a lot of the members really liked it, I think, because so many of the members of the HFPA themselves are immigrants to the United States that they're like, even if it's a completely different culture or generation, they're like, no, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is
right.
funny where people don't like, because they, you know, they for some reason didn't think Watchmen was a good show. I don't know what the fuck happened there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it got completely shut out.
Apparently they miscalculated actual submission times for it and did not.
Oh, is that what happened?
Apparently HBO did not promote to the like voting public as
I believe
much.
That.
They
I
were more leaning on Game of Thrones.
Because like, I was just kind of assuming that it came out too late. I don't know what the cutoff is.
Yeah, no, it came out sort of right at the cutoff. But
that's the weird thing.
You're also
that actually happened with us in Astronomy Club.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, that's
exactly.
why we didn't get nominated. But yeah,
you should have been also sent like Rami, so been like, good. Yo, this is what they're saying about Astronomy
yeah,
Club.
Yeah,
like,
wow, same thing, bro.
It's a pointed
like, yeah,
show.
I know.
It's like, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know if they're saying this stuff about you. Even these white guys with wraparound sunglasses in their truck as their avatar photo, like my show.
Yeah.
What's something that's overrated?
Overrated social media detox for your New Year's resolutions.
Ooh.
Wow.
I think that's overrated.
That's a take.
Honestly, because everybody's doing it. Oh, I don't want to be on, I'm getting off social media. First
Cut
of
two.
All, if you're posting that on social media, you already failed.
Yeah, right.
I don't even want to hear it.
Right.
Like, if you truly don't care about social media, then don't tell me that you're getting off social media. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know.
Oh, you mean like, yeah, don't make it part of your
don't
personality.
Don't make it a part of your platform. Like,
right.
I literally just scrolled past somebody who like, posted a picture of them and they're like, I've been here I am meditating. And I'm just like, you're not meditating. You're posting on social.
Yeah.
You're on Instagram. Like, you just took a picture of yourself in a video.
Also, screenshot what your drafts look like because I have a feeling you have many versions
exactly.
of this photo.
Exactly. And there's no way you just took one. Like, and so, I mean, I think we just need to accept the fact that it's here. That we're addicted to it. You know what I mean?
I love that that's like a whole...
Just embrace it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a full writing style when someone says that they're logging out for a while. And they never are.
And they never really are.
They always
come back.
They come back.
Yeah, they need it.
They're like, I'm just promoting things now. I'm like, but you're still on it.
Right. The people I respect are like the people who I'm like, I go to tag... And I don't see them anymore. I'm like, oh my God, they don't,
like,
they're
oh,
off it.
You got the fuck off.
Yeah, you just got off. You didn't post about it. You didn't like make an announcement.
Good for them.
Just, I'm like, now that's a respect. So if you want to do that, go ahead and do it. But like, I don't know, just that part of your New Year's resolution. If I'm seeing it on your story.
Right. No, that is a bit, it's odd when you're like, you're announcing it through it versus like, I just don't use it as frequently.
Right.
Mostly
and that's good.
Yeah, I try not to. I don't make a thing out of it because I don't. Before this, it wasn't part of like me always using it. I guess if you were someone who's a hyper user of social media, then you kind of would be like, look, y'all, I know you're used to some really flitty memes coming out of this page. I must go now.
There is some hubris to it, too. It's like if you have to announce it, you think that what you're saying is very important.
So much hubris. Like we're all, like all your. 212 followers are going to be right. Like, no.
I yeah. know you have a high quality. It's like, I know that you think that this is the coolest shit ever, but unfortunately, I yeah. must go.
No yeah, more.
Anyone
no more
who legitimately
pics.
Needs to detox from it, though, please do. Because, yeah. man, yeah. Most people, I think, don't realize how toxic it actually is. And you get into this loop where you like, almost like, but if I don't, especially in comedy.
I think it's too late.
It's like, do you exist? But it's like, do you even exist if you're not on Twitter?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, right. And it's very few comedians who aren't on Twitter and are still able to like thrive.
That's true.
I think that there is like an element of, I forget who I was talking to with about this, but like there is like a certain level of like privilege to be able to log out in that way, especially like if you're a comic.
Yeah, it means you're.
Right. Because like, how are you promoting?
Right. It's like, well, then you must be a big enough deal that you can afford to not be using the free tools all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I don't like when people make you feel guilty about having to be on it and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, that's what some people yeah. have to do. Also, it's fun sometimes. And there are healthy ways to consume it, you know, if you just.
Name five.
Microdoses.
Okay, here we go.
Just microdoses.
Yeah. Eat apples while you walk. Yeah.
Just be in the sun. When the sun is down, put that phone down.
I think I'm online till I'm canceled. I think that unfortunately, yeah. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to.
I think out. Yeah, you've been hardwired into the matrix.
I've been hacked.
Are you scared of getting canceled? Is that like a legitimate fear?
Not really. But yeah. but then sometimes when you see like a misfire of a cancellation, you're like, oh, that could be anyone.
Yeah.
You
that's
know?
True.
Like I said, you're like,
well, somebody who you're like, that, ooh, I don't know if they deserve to be canceled.
It's
that,
an occasional misfire, but a misfire is scary to witness.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, scary to witness.
What's something you think is underrated?
Bidets.
Hey.
Yeah.
I feel like, I truly feel like America is a backwards country that we don't have bidets, like, just commonplace.
We should be blowing our buttholes.
It shouldn't
out
be
with
something
water.
That like only a rich person gets, but when they install a Japanese toilet.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
It's weird that we haven't upgraded our butt cleaning for what, centuries?
We're still using papers
for millennia.
That's true. I can't get
or in
past
my
it.
Instance, microfiber towels.
I can't get
that
past
I
it.
I rewash.
Right.
I can't get
well,
past
well, can't you
it.
Get past that the water's just coming up?
They no, literally just I let don't. That go by. I what? Said I admit Anna shocked. Said I wipe my ass with microfiber towels. You're in disgust. Dan is in the booth going, "What the fuck?" And y'all just kept
we're
moving.
Just like,
we didn't know how to respond.
Hey, thank you for not shaming me. No, for the record, I steal toilet paper from the office, like everyone else that works here.
I was gonna right. say I like I love to steal toilet paper from wherever people leave it loose. I'm like, that's on you. I got toilet paper. Now.
What do you mean, like a loose square of it on the ground?
No, I'm just saying like if you go to like a restaurant. And they've left a couple of rolls loose. I'm like, I'm taking one home with me. Are you
okay,
crazy?
Do you go to the bathroom with a purse so you can stash that shit, or do you ever fucking just say fuck it? I'm walking out with my chest out, holding this toilet paper.
I always have a tote. I've like gone to, especially like when I like go and do an audition. I'm like, that didn't go well. I'll pick up a loose roll, make it worth my right. time.
Oh, interesting.
That's yeah. their problem for being lazy and not wanting to constantly.
Should have yeah. secured your
don't
rolls.
Don't sing my genius.
Yeah.
I guess I'll take this one ply toilet paper.
Don't want to cast me in a mattress commercial. It's like
jokes on you.
Jokes on you. I got two rolls.
Where was the first time you used a bidet?
It was very recently. That's why I'm talking
okay.
about it.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
It was at an Airbnb that my wife and I were staying at. And I was like, I was a little scared. I was because that's why I want to hear about why you can't get past it.
Yeah.
Because I was nervous. But mm-hmm. But then it was like, no, it was perfect. It was
yeah.
it was perfect.
It's
it was
like,
exactly right. Hit the right spot.
Yep.
You know, didn't feel weird. Also, didn't feel too good either because I feel like some people like over sexualize it. And
depends
it's like,
on
okay,
yeah.
That's,
I mean, it does feel
fear.
Good. No, I'm just.
Oh wait, some people are like. Wait,
some
you
people are like
a bidet. Like,
yes,
ooh,
I think so.
Fuck.
Just on that bidet.
Put that pressure on.
Get
me.
That.
Power wash me, Lord.
It's like when people recommend bidets, they recommend it so hard that mm-hmm. I feel like pleasure is implied. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm
oh,
right.
No, for me, it's because like, look, if you take a shit and you've ever had to wipe your ass like 900 times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That shit is a wrap with a bidet. Like, you know,
yeah.
you will fucking bidet your butthole and then you just do a quick dab. Shit mm-hmm. is cleaner than the day
it's
you were
clean.
Born.
It's clean. And it's like, it makes you feel good. You don't feel bad about having to be in the bathroom for so freaking long just because you're trying to wipe your butt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, especially any of us who like, who aren't like shaving down there. You know what I mean?
It just another thing I advocate for, wax your butthole.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. My friend whose wife is an esthetician, I've not yet to have my butthole waxed completely. I've tried it with candle wax. Okay. That's why I say completely.
Right.
Apparently, that's not the
way to
do it.
I didn't know that you could do it. It
caused a terrible injury.
That sounds rough.
Men with the clean butthole swear by it. They're like, yo, bro, everything's a smoother operation. You know what I mean?
All right.
Damn.
Sade's smooth operator.
There we go.
I don't like to think about my butt too hard and like, I don't know.
What's your fear? You're going to sit on a bidet and then it's going to tear you up?
I'm afraid I'm going to sit. I think just the way it's been described to me, I'm like, I don't want to sit on a bidet and then like come. Like, you know, like everyone's just like, it's incredible.
So, yeah, you are worried about that. Fear. You're worried about the over-sexualization of a bidet.
Wow. I have this very puritanical fear.
That's
I'm
so
like,
weird.
The bathroom isn't erotic. That's a place for poop and pee.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because growing up in Japan, a lot of the bidet toilet attachments were pretty standard.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like, you know, just get your butt clean.
Yeah.
I've never been like, ooh.
I gotta normalize it. That's the sort of thing where my dad would look at that and be like, if my dad saw a bidet, he would treat it like Starbucks. He'd be like, oh, you fucking French? Oh, you he's like, this is royal asshole. Like that kind of stuff.
Right. Which is crazy because why would we not all want to have clean butts?
Yeah,
Why are some people dying on the hill?
Well, I'm sure there's like probably a
butt.
Very like weird American male homophobic idea. Of like, dude, I'm not letting nothing stimulate my beehole, not even for cleanliness.
I have to grow up.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
And then also it makes you feel better about like if you're intimate with somebody, you know what I mean? You're like, I know it's clean.
Yeah, I just pressure washed that shit.
Yeah.
just got the graffiti off the sidewalk.
Yeah, man. Come on now.
And what is something that's a myth?
There's this myth, I think, that Netflix is about to like go down. And now I know I have a Netflix show, so it sounds like
go on.
Sounds like I'm just
propaganda machine over here. No, I love this unbiased take.
But it's it's impossible for me to not sound unbiased. Truly, and it is. It's not. But I just this idea that like all these other streaming services are going to take Netflix down is so ridiculous to me. And we were talking about it a little bit before. But like, look, I love Disney Plus as much as the next person. But that. You're not sitting watching Disney, like freaking old school Disney
kind of
animated
content.
Shows. Yeah.
Some
if you're
people
a child.
Are,
yeah. If you're in.
If you're a Disney head.
I got Disney
if you have
Plus
that AP sticker.
Asleep.
A child trapped in an adult's body.
Wait,
I got Disney Plus
to fall asleep.
Simpsons put on the sleep timer.
You're 100% correct.
Yeah.
I always fall asleep to Disney Plus because I'll put on some animated movie that's like calm or whatever, and then I watch 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
ASMR
guess what?
Yeah.
Still using it.
Yeah, it's true. Giving him $8.
Walt is still crip walking in his cryogenically frozen state.
I agree with you though. That.
But it's like the amount of content that Netflix has. Also, by the way, Disney Plus not available in other countries. Netflix is available in so many different countries. Mm-hmm. It has like crazy amount
of
content.
I think it's hard because also most people, the first streaming service they signed up for is Netflix.
Yeah.
So you're not, I think you're going to be less likely to get rid of that just because other, if anything, right now people are just adding the pile.
Right.
And are probably going to hit a point where they're like, all of my income is going to streaming services.
And how many times are you like, I mean like, Apple TV or HBO, and like, look, I'm where I want to work with all these people.
Yeah.
But it's just the idea that like Netflix is going, I've seen so many people talk about that recently and like canceling subscriptions or whatever. I'm just like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, even if you cancel, you're coming right back when Stranger Things season 4 drops. Like, stop pretending.
Netflix in particular, I feel like any conversation I've ever had of like, oh, like, if I had to unsubscribe, that's never, I feel like it's very rarely on people's list because it's first love.
And it's very broad, you know, like everything else is very specialized.
If
so
you've
like
got kids, like,
right. Like I get the HBO Max has more, like is slightly a little more varied, but like Disney Plus is very specific thing
very
in my
specific.
Mind. Like, and you know, Hulu is like one that I get too. It's broad enough because there's all these other things, but these new spinoff ones, I'm like, bro, I'm not going to fucking
Everyone,
pay for
don't sleep on Quibi, gang. Don't sleep. Okay. I'm kidding.
And do you want to announce your upcoming Quibi show?
Yeah.
I've literally worked on 2 Quibi shows, couldn't tell you what it is.
Yeah.
No, it's not out yet, though, either, right?
Shit, I might be on Quibi.
We might be on Quibi right now.
You never know.
This is Quibi.
You never know. You never know.
Welcome to Quibi.
Might have to hold my tongue.
Those commercials for Peacock were sad.
Oh,
there's commercials for the NBC. That's the NBC streaming one. Right?
Yeah, they had them on during the Golden Globes, and it was like a chicken like laid 2 eggs, and then it was like something like it's about to hatch, and then Peacock, and I was like, wow.
Wait, but what happened to the other egg? Just one egg hatched?
I don't know. You're right. That doesn't make any sense.
Even
there
the
were
description.
Two eggs. No, but I think I didn't even think about this until you just said it.
Uh-huh.
There was a white egg and a brown egg.
No, there was not.
I swear to you, maybe I'm making this up, but I truly
What's
believe
that, supposed to mean?
That there was a white egg and a brown egg. Well, at first I didn't think about it at all, but what you just said, why were there 2 eggs? I'm like, well, what if they only put a white egg and then there was some like conspiracy theory that they were being racist?
Yeah.
But if they put a
brown egg,
then you'd have the same conspiracy theory.
2020 race war confirmed.
So they put both.
The race war will be streamed on Peacock.
On Peacock. Tune in.
Peacock. Attaching.
Oh, man. Well, let's move on to other pressing information.
Yeah.
Emma Chamberlain. Who's that?
I don't know. I'm Googling.
She's
right
okay.
Well, so this is all I saw is that she's on, I think, the cover of Vogue or some shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, okay, they're saying she's that chick right now in terms of influencers.
Yeah. Do you guys really not know who she is?
I mean, I know the name, but okay. I've not read in depth about her
Truly,
until this thing.
Everybody's gonna hate me. I like know almost nothing about influencers.
That's a positive personality.
No, that's whack as fuck. Because influencers are the coolest fucking people. So I know she's got 8.57 million YouTube subscribers.
She's 18 years old.
8.5 million Instagram followers. 2.8 Twitter followers. Exactly. She's 18 years old, so I have no
she's
why the fuck
random.
Would I be checking.
She's hashtag random.
What does that mean? Is that part of her brand?
Yeah, she makes hashtag random YouTube videos and everyone hashtag loves it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Wow. So in this article, I think in this Vogue profile, or in this I'm sorry, I misspoke. It's Cosmopolitan magazine. And the article is written by Dana Schwartz, one of the hosts on our network.
I love Dana.
You know,
shout out.
We run the culture. Okay.
Dana's incredible.
People know this. So they start off. She is without a doubt an influencer by every metric you would say, just sort of in terms of what her identity is. And in the beginnings of this profile, she says, quote, "I think the word influencer is kind of disgusting.
Hmm.
Let's use me as an example." If someone is calling me an influencer, they're saying that my job is to influence. And I don't think that's true. I prefer to entertain and be a friend. I don't want to influence.
I
get it. Well, you know,
I see why
you make videos.
It. Yeah.
She's saying to say that that's my intent and what I do. It's like, okay, what we're saying is influencer means the newest, most popular kid right now.
Well, I feel, because she's 18.
Yeah,
I get
18.
That she's I want to be taken more seriously than I am, whether she has earned hashtag that
random.
Yet.
Hashtag random.
She's pretty hashtag random. But
is it that or is it the, it almost feels like the opposite. Like she's saying people are taking me too serious. I don't want to be an influencer. That sounds more.
But I feel like she has a deal with Target. She's an influencer.
Right. And fucking Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, once you're a sponsor for someone and you're an influencer.
Because
people call actors influencers and there's
Influencer is just a term described to saying how people commodify or weaponize your celebrity to market products.
She's hit on she is interesting to me because she was a cheerleader making random YouTube videos,
mm-hmm.
And then was able to monetize it by overlapping random internet culture and just hot teen culture. And
I have no gripes really. I mean, as someone who many years ago thought YouTube was the way out. I understand the possibilities of this
late.
Era. I know, man. Should I just give this podcast a shit
late.
Up and start my vlogs?
I guess
it's
it is kind late. Of inspiring.
Hey, beautiful bastards.
Step into the light.
It's inspiring that there are people who are still doing new voices that are coming out and getting hot on YouTube. Like
I'm surprised that it's still, yeah. I guess, you know what I mean? Kids love video because they don't fuck with podcasts.
I don't know why she's calling it disgusting, though. I can understand her being like, it's weird. I'm an entertainer, but I get like...
I think it's like, don't reduce me to this word that already, like, to most people my age has this, like, weird connotation.
Yeah, because I'm sure that, like, kids and, like, teenagers don't like the word influencer. Like, I'm sure there's some sort of stigma with it.
Lit teen?
Right.
Yeah.
excuse me, fellow kid? Yeah.
How would you like this?
Is it fair to call all entertainers influencers?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. I think if you are marketing anything, it's. I don't know.
Well, I guess it's weird if like if you're on a streaming service, right? Like Netflix. Then you're not actually advertising anything, right? It's just like the. I don't know how Netflix makes money, but they're making money. I swear.
Yeah, that's not for you to figure out. They're gonna be here forever.
Yeah.
But like they. So is it different if you are entertaining people and there are no ads being sold while you're doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because she's making videos, and the reality is, she is an entertainer, but her main source of income is to influence people to buy products.
Yeah, it's through ad deals.
Through ad deals and branding.
Because I don't think she's signed like a 4-picture development deal with Warner Brothers or something like
that. No, I don't think that she's like an actor, but she does have a really popular podcast too. I don't know.
I'm saying it's not really about good or bad. I'm saying like, how do we define it, right? Because I think influencer, at least to my mind, that term came up in the era of people somehow starting to make money on Instagram from looking cute.
Right.
And wasn't it because like they had all these followers and then people were like, wow, you have that many followers. Can you put my product in one of your videos or like do a video that had like kind of like sponsors my thing? And they're like, sure. I will use my influence to do that.
Are there influencers that don't promote products? Is that a thing too?
Oh, like, interesting. Paradoxical.
I'm just trying to think of like, are those two things mutually exclusive?
How do they make money then?
Then I don't know. Maybe they have their own thing. I think because influence is Patreon.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like it's a marketing term that comes out of. Again, it's to influence a behavior from the advertiser's perspective. That's why they would describe that.
DJ Dan just held up a whiteboard that said Greta?
Greta Van Susteren?
No.
Greta Gerwig?
Thunberg.
Whoa.
Because I think she's an influencer, but I don't think she takes money from outside places.
Well, Greta Thunberg isn't suddenly going like, and please try the new Impossible Target. Burger at Burger King.
Is she considered an influencer?
I feel like
she would be.
I guess because she does have an ethos and she has a
specific point of view
and a behavior that she's trying to instill in people. It's more overt.
It's behavioral.
But is she doing that through? Does she have like a social media following? Is she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
there you go. It's
huge Twitter.
So maybe it is like just like to make it more vague, like trying to influence a behavior in your followers, whether that be buying something or something else.
We're really breaking this down.
I mean, really, if we think about it, Jesus Christ was the original.
Okay.
People cared how he voted.
Yeah, that's true.
And people would be mad if they found out you were like voting for Pete Buttigieg. You're an influencer.
Yeah, if people would get mad over who you endorse for anything.
Right.
That would. But I don't know.
That's just celebrity.
No, I think we nailed it in that.
Is Joe Pesci an influencer? I don't think he is. Because if I found out that Joe Pesci was voting for someone fucked up, I'd be like, yep, makes sense.
I don't know. Joe Pesci influenced me wanting to have a gold tooth.
Joe Pesci is still making music. He released a song called Baby Girl last year.
Wow, it's terrible.
You gotta listen to it.
That's a different song.
I mean, I'd believe it. That was Bieber.
It's like, right. Baby Girl.
We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and Trump, oh boy, and that's it.
you just ruined this episode.
So he had a press conference on Wednesday to, you know, explain the whole Iran situation after the missiles were launched upon some bases in Iraq.
Goodness.
You know, no one was hurt, luckily, and basically said, hey, look, there's going to be more sanctions. He said the Iranians are standing down. Yeah, okay. He said then was trying to imply that Obama had funded the Iranian weapons program because he unfroze the assets that were frozen during the when the embassy was overtaken in 1979.
Couldn't make heads or tails of that.
But he was just like, yeah, that's it. He gave him $150 million. It's like he unfroze assets as part of the whatever, motherfucker. And then now he wants NATO to get involved more. I mean, the only thing that I took away from this is I was just like, oh, thank God he wasn't trying to double down on like the fire and brimstone rhetoric. Like, but I think it's foolish to think that this is the end of it, even though there are, you know, they're saying, I think, in Iran that, you know, that was their response to it. But, you know, this is far from over. And this is completely like changed the footing of things in terms of the balance of power in the region.
Absolutely, yeah.
I do think that neither of these countries like actually want to go to war, but like it's one of those things where it's to me it's just like, yo, like two dudes like just like bloviating and like try, like it's one of those things where you're like you go to attack somebody but you know your boys are gonna hold you back, so you're not actually you don't actually think about it.
You're like, oh, I wouldn't actually swing.
Like, you know what I mean? I would.
Like, no, literally, please hold.
You know
me
what
back.
I mean? Like, hold me. You know, and like I feel like that's what both people are doing. But the thing is, if somebody accidentally slips and like a punch gets land. Like,
well, that's what was dangerous about assassinating Soleimani, because that's essentially what that was. It's
right.
Like, well, you just smacked him in the nose.
Right.
So what do you think is going to happen now? I don't know. I mean, I think in the U.S. there are people who are absolutely want
a
war.
For sure. For
like,
sure.
Have been, you know, they've been masturbating to Iranian war posters in their bedroom since they were children.
Definitely.
Like, they have war fantasies. But yeah, I think it's just it's nice to see that the hawkish crew that's around Trump in the Oval did not prevail in this incident. But, you know, I think this story is far from over, especially when you consider like all the players involved. And now he's asking for, you know, the countries that are involved in the Iran deal to like be on his. It's
truly the ultimate losers too is Iraq and like all the people who live in Iraq.
And that was a thing too. That was a thing that was completely missing from his statement too, was even talking about like Iraq being like, hey, yeah, I know we completely like just violated your sovereignty by like doing state sanctioned murder there,
which
but
on your soil.
Intentional. Yeah.
It's, ugh. But anyway, so, you know, I think that it was tense. It's still very tense from what I can tell. I'm still, you know, I have no confidence in the ability of this administration to handle a situation like this, considering that, like, they have, like, B-team national security people. Like, it's not even, like, the people who are at the tops of their fields. Like, they've had to go so far down the list. The people that are the experts there are, like, not the greatest people to have anyway, and are not equipped to handle situations like this.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like people were really, some pranksters were really trying to capitalize on a lot of the ignorance and anxiety around this conflict with Iran.
Some chaos, Nathan Fielders.
Yeah, people were getting texts that read like this. Hello, comma, but no space between the next word. That would be my first. I'm like, this is fake.
I don't know, but like Trump's White House, you'd never know.
Yeah, that's true. It says, hello, we are contacting you in regards to the United States official army draft. We tried contacting you through your email several times and have had no response. You've been marked eligible and must come to the nearest branch, okay, in the New Jersey area for immediate departure to Iran. Please contact us at the following number immediately. United States Army Referral Program, ask for blah, blah, blah extension. Thank you.
Jesus.
I think most people who just saw like the lack of proper punctuation and things would be like, this is a fucked up joke. But I, you know,
do
a lot
we know?
Of people,
did anyone show up?
Some people would call, like try to figure out what it was. And like the recruiting centers were like, we would never, that's a completely separate department that's run by the Selective Service, like that department. It was a thing that I definitely thought about, I think, because around the Iraq war, I was just getting out of high school, and I was like, oh, okay, that puts you in, like, prime draft age. But, I mean, for that to happen, that would take Congress and the president to authorize it, and then it would be people between 18 and 25, first up.
Oh, nice, I'm out.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, damn, like, I'm, like, old as fuck.
I was talking with my boyfriend. My boyfriend's, like, just eligible, and I'm like, we just got to make it six more months, baby.
Yeah, I mean, don't worry. The way modern warfare works, shout out to Call of Duty, it would unlikely happen like that.
Yeah, no.
Yep.
But nonetheless, I mean, it just shows you the kind of overall anxiety people had about it. And, again, ignorance, too, to think, like, yes, that's what would happen. Because I'm used to seeing a pattern of like lack of diplomacy in this country that would say like, yeah, now it's war.
Right. Or I
like,
mean, I think we are living in a comma, no space kind of era.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
2020, the year of comma,
no space. Hey, man, it's comma, no space, man. Give me a break. AKA 2020. Okay, let's check in very quickly with the impeachment because that's not going away.
Impeaching this grief.
So Mitch McConnell, he so giddily announced that he is ready to start his absolute joke sham of a Senate trial by saying
his lizard tongue was hanging out.
Yes.
Yeah.
The evil demonic scrotum with glasses told everybody he has all 53 GOP votes in the Senate to basically ensure that there will be no witnesses and no documents presented as part of the trial to determine whether or not the president was fucking around in terms of withholding aid to Ukraine. I know that sounds like 900 years ago. But I'm pretty sure the impeachment happened less than 30 days ago. Just for your...
He just confirmed that there will be no witnesses and no evidence?
Well, yeah, essentially, like, you know, they could force a vote. If there were enough votes, if there were 51 votes, then they would be like, yeah, no, there need to be witnesses called. But because he has the votes, he can completely dictate what the style and substance or lack thereof would be of a Senate trial.
Well, so sad.
And Nancy Pelosi, she's been withholding the articles, you know, transmitting the articles because it has to move from the House to the Senate because she's been trying to ensure that an actual, like, I mean, I don't even know, I don't even, it's funny to even think that there could be an impartial trial in the Senate. But that was, she was trying to do to get him to play fair. But this dude has proven himself to be an evil nutsack. Yeah. So I don't know how that was ever going to happen. So we'll see where we go from there. I mean, she seems, Pelosi seems pretty much like steadfast in saying like, well, it seems like his allegiance is absolutely to the president and not to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And that's sad. And we'll see what she has in store. There's been like also articles saying that Nancy Pelosi has not really told many of like even her closest confidants like what her plan is here.
I mean, what's the plan? What can she even do?
And yeah, at this point, I mean, it's almost like you allow the, you would need the public pressure to get to a certain point.
That's
but right. It almost happened, right? So over the break, you had people like Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski who do a really good job of being like, oh, the behavior is, of the president is disturbing, or like, yeah, that is really, really awful. I do not like that. And then go and just vote for whatever Trump needs. It happened all over again.
Yeah. And it's just like kind of shitty timing for her to get the public to be, you know, really public pressuring, just because there's so much other shit going on that, yeah, it's like a month ago, that was what everyone was looking at and focusing on, but 900 things go wrong in the meantime.
Yeah.
It's like, where do you put your attention?
Exactly. So,
whoa, that's almost like it was planned.
Holy.
Hey!
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we'll do this, and then that'll give you cover to then, you know, throw your spines in the trash and then,
yeah,
move your invertebrate body
throw a whole
region
into chaos.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to
feel. The hope
feel,
is 2020 election.
I mean, like, yeah, legal nihilism is fully set in.
Pew, pew, pew.
And, you know, it's there. Them defecting really would have been somewhat of a game changer, considering that John Bolton was like, yeah, I'll testify if y'all call me up. But again, mm-hmm, I'm not even convinced that what John Bolton would say would be a slam dunk for impeachment, because again, right, he wants to bomb the earth forever. So I'm sure what he was seeing going on in terms of our lack of diplomacy with Iran was probably like, maybe I won't make it hot for this administration right now.
Right. Because
that's kind of something I'm into. Okay, let's check in
wild
with, you know, our candidates that maybe will battle Donald Trump in the depths of hell to become the next fucking president of the United States. So,
oh my God.
Celebrity death.
The top tier candidates were all outraised by Donald Trump in the fourth quarter.
Which makes sense.
By a lot. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because all the money is being focused into one candidate.
One candidate.
Yeah. Over 45 million?
Mm-hmm. 46 million. Yeah. Yeah. That is 45 million. Over 45 million.
Thank
yes.
Thank you so much.
But if you added up all the other candidates, that's much more than.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you added up Biden and Buttigieg, you'd get to 46.
Yep.
But the biggest earners in this last quarter was Bernie Sanders. More than Biden or Buttigieg or Warren. I think, yeah, Buttigieg was in second place with 24.7 million.
And that's with his wine caves.
That's with wine
caves. That's with the wine caves and caves. Seth MacFarlane's money.
Oh, yeah, Seth.
I love to, every time Pete Buttigieg comes up, got to bring up the Family Guy vote. Got to do it.
Got to get the Family Guy vote.
How much money does Seth go?
I don't know. He loves Pete so much.
He probably maxed out for as much as he can for a single person.
He's waiting for his space show to get picked up. He's like, I don't know, maybe if the Oracle
is this space
gets a
show out?
Three.
Oracle, yeah.
Oh, is it up? Oracle. Oh, it's up in limbo?
Honestly, my crush has fallen defunct. I don't really know.
Oh, man. Well, you hate to see it.
To see it.
So, again, when you look at Bernie's fourth quarter fundraising and the number of different donors he had, and you couple that with how he's basically really made himself a legit contender in Iowa and New Hampshire, we're starting to hear the establishment alarm bells go off. And they're all using kind of the same sort of scare tactic, because obviously their whole thing is like, well, we sort of we protect the interests of Wall Street and most major for-profit industries.
Oh.
And to have someone like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren just might not be a tenable situation for those people. So Rahm Emanuel, Obama's former chief of staff, came out basically saying like, yo, got to be careful with that Medicare for all. It's going to scare the swing voters away. And then Trump will win. So Medicare for all equals Trump will win is sort of the dynamic. And he says, you need a candidate with a message that can help us win swing voters in battleground states. Mm-hmm. The degree of difficulty dramatically increases under a Bernie Sanders candidacy. It just gets a lot harder.
There was a Daily Beast story that, I mean, it's not official, but there's been just like sources within like former Obama administration members where like he's gone on the record saying he's not going to endorse a specific Democratic candidate. But if Bernie gets too far ahead, maybe he'll speak up in like,
right.
This isn't the way, like incremental change, centrism.
Yeah. But then after that, it did seem that he kind of stepped back from that a little bit and just said, no matter what, he said, no matter what, though, whoever it is, like, I will ensure that I will do whatever I have to do to
whoever
make sure
gets
Donald
the
Trump
Do you think he would say something before the nomination? Or do you think if Bernie gets the nomination, he'll be like, all right, I'm with this.
I don't know. If he's going to say something, you'd probably want to do it now, considering February 3rd is
coming up.
But yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think when you really look at sort of, you know, like the numbers around it, it's true that Medicare for All, like the support for it, has declined since the midterms when many people were using that as a way to like get into office. Mm-hmm. But a lot of that is more connected to the voters' fears around electability rather than like, oh, I don't think everyone having health care is a good idea. It's like, I think having a candidate who's pushing that is going to freak out swing voters who want to keep their evil fucking healthcare they have now.
Mm-hmm. And they were all freaked out in 2016. So.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's right. Medicare for All wasn't on the platform for Democratic in 2016.
Exactly. So when you look at just sort of like, even when you break down what the costs are for Americans, like, right, a single payer system would be much cheaper. And I think the things that people typically point to is like, well, you got to raise the taxes. Okay. The taxes, then my taxes go up. First of all, when you look at already what people's incomes go to for healthcare, like, you know, the U.S. has the most expensive healthcare system in the United States.
In the world.
Yeah, it's near. Oh, yeah. The U.S.
and the United States.
Guess what? And on Earth, apparently. It's a cost of almost $1 trillion more than the second most expensive system, which is Switzerland. $1 trillion more.
That's
granted, the populations are much different, but that just means that in the U.S. households are paying like an extra $8,000 per year in medical expenses. Right. So if you're thinking about that on your household, an incremental tax, which would be would pale in comparison to the $8,000 that's already flying out of your paychecks and your copays and all these other things, there needs to be a little bit more of a nuanced discussion as to like how these numbers level out for people. Because I think a lot of people just think, people think Medicare for All is communism and then they're going to scare these other people. But when you look at sort of how dire the living situation is for most people in this country, we need Medicare for All, because there's no way the disparities in incomes and things like that is so fucked up, and we're doing nothing to begin to alleviate those pressures. And these two economists who have been talking, they have there's like a new book coming out that they're writing that's like The Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism. They've been these economists who have been really focused on this trend of deaths of despair that is only unique to the United States, which is born out of, you know, people between the ages of 25 and 64 have been dying from suicide, overdosing on opioids or other drugs, and alcohol related problems like from liver disease have just been going off
isn't
the charts.
Isn't suicide like one of the top killers of like young people now?
Yeah, and I think older or middle-aged white men also.
And it's like, because sometimes like you can't afford to live,
right?
It becomes like the issue. I mean, there's so many examples of people who are like, I don't want to continue to put this financial burden on my family who can't afford to literally keep me alive because of the way that the healthcare system is set up.
And the areas where, or the sort of demographically where these deaths of despair hit very hard are white Americans without college degrees who are having dwindling job options too. So when you even think of things like what a Sanders or Warren is trying to have as their platform of being like, we also need to be able to educate people. Like going to university should not be a class barrier, but it is as it stands. And you look at how all these things feed into each other. I understand, look, there's people have this argument of like, well, it's the electability thing I'm worried about. But we also have these really terrible systemic issues that need to be addressed.
The electability thing is so funny because it's such a, it to me is a nonsensical argument, because my thing is like, would you vote for them? Yes, then don't. What the fuck are you worried about? Don't talk about electability. Yeah. You have no idea how or why other people are going to vote. You can pretend like you do, but the reality is we chose an electable candidate in 2016 and that candidate didn't win.
Yeah.
And right. like, so you're like, and Donald Trump, by most metrics, would not be considered an electable candidate, and he won. So, like, just throw this idea of electability out. It's all theoretical.
People didn't consider Obama an electable candidate either at the time. Yeah. Like, it's
100%.
Yeah. It's a ridiculous argument, but I think that's where, you know, people begin to need to re-educate themselves, or people need to educate each other on, like, when they start getting like, well, I don't know about that. It's like, no. You know, because at the end of the day, people are going to be selling, like when it gets to the general, it's all about selling people your version of reality that you want Americans to experience going forward.
Right.
And if you have a message that people can actually believe in, they say, you know what, that actually does, that would tremendously help my quality of life.
With Medicare for All, I feel like it is just like sitting someone who's skeptical about it down and like taking the buzzwords and like the scare words that are thrown out of the equation and be like, no, here are examples and numbers and like, it would improve everyone's quality.
And it's interesting, though, too, like when you think of how ferociously the health insurance industry has been fighting like this idea and has introduced like that talking point of like choice is a lobbyist created talking point. Yeah. And like you have candidates like regurgitating it, and you're like, see,
as if we all have choice. We don't have choice. Nobody has choice right now. You have the health insurance that you at your job provides you. You don't have that. That's not a real choice.
Right.
You can live as well as your employer will let you.
Allow you to.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
But
if
don't
you're lucky.
Fuck up my yacht money.
If you're yeah.
Fuck up my yacht
that's
money.
That's right. If you're lucky enough to have a job in which they provide you health insurance, and if they do, it's not like, I mean, how many times have you heard people go, well, yeah, I like I mean, I have a plethora of job opportunities at my foot, and I decided to look at the health insurance that each of them provides, and that's how I chose which job I was going to have. No.
That's a fantasy world. Yeah. I mean, unless you like work for like one of those tech startups that actually has the kinds of benefits, you're like, oh my God, really? They're like, yeah, 9 months paid parental leave.
I mean,
like,
I haven't had health insurance in 2 years, and it's just like it is because of whatever the options that you're given.
Right.
Like, it's just, it shouldn't be connected.
But again, even if you look at the insurance most people have, many of them are not humane and are completely like just unusable in terms of cost. So it's not really, it's not
high deductibles.
Yeah, and it's not actually taking care of people. It's only taking care of their pockets, baby.
Well, you can even go further. And I mean, obviously it all goes back to hashtag capitalism, but
hashtag
just like
random.
It like hashtag random, hashtag capitalism, hashtag Emma Chamberlain. but yeah, like we're there. I've known people who stay at jobs that they're not like
for
ethically happy to be at. Yeah. They're
true.
Like, yeah, I know that, like, I have a friend who remained working at Amazon, a place that is terrible, and that like they disagreed all of the tenants of this place, but they're like, I have a kid. What am I supposed to fucking do? Like, it's just, it shouldn't be connected to your job.
Well, exactly. And then that's taken away your freedom, too, as a human being.
Right. So because that's what, it's like an illusion of choice. You don't really have choice.
It's like, well, which master are you bowing to? Amazon, because they have your insurance, because you need that to live?
Okay. Right.
I have that over your head now. Ugh. Anyway, so that's about that. Really quickly, I just want to tell this story about New York State Assemblyman Brian Kolb. As I alluded to earlier, he drove his state-issued SUV drunkenly into a ditch. And this is where it gets funny. When the tow truck driver arrives, tow truck driver arrives first. He comes off top. According to Scoville, who is the tow truck driver, Kolb stood up, put his hands up, and said, my wife was driving.
What?
He then said, you know how women drive. Scoville said, I did not see anyone else around the vehicle. Kolb allegedly told
him. But his wife wasn't there?
No. Kolb allegedly told him that his wife was, quote, up in the house. I don't know what that means. So anyway, when the police deputy got there, he blew a .16 breathalyzer. So, you know, that they were like, okay, it was your wife. Mm-hmm. Then he resigned on Friday. It was just like, okay, I kind of fucked that up.
That's
the idea that you could go, I don't know, man. That's an interesting energy where you're like, he'll get it.
Yeah.
I'll hold up my hands, go, my wife was driving. You know how women drive.
Right.
Where is your wife, sir? Up in the
house.
We're in a field. We were in a ditch, my man.
She crashed the car and was like, total, I'm going to the house.
You should see her, man. She's like Dr. Manhattan.
You know what women
she's
are like?
She zapped herself to the house. She's a coward, you know. She should really take responsibility.
Arrest
for
this. Her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, arrest the system.
He's still happily married?
His wife's about to resign.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. I'm pretty sure we've spoke about this pizza ATM before, but the news popped up about it again, and I'm trying to really figure out if I think the pizza ATM is a good idea. I know, like, there's the Sprinkles Cupcake ATM that you see, like, at the Grove and shit. I've seen that.
At the Americana.
Yeah, okay. At the America, whatever. It doesn't make sense.
Explain a pizza ATM.
Pizza ATM. It's been on college campuses, most recently at the University of North Florida. But basically, for $10, you put your money in, and 5 minutes later, a pizza comes out. Okay. The shit is like the size of like a fucking room. It's like a
what?
Or yeah. I don't know. It's the size
of a brick oven.
Well, I don't know. It's a big ass machine.
It's a machine attached to a brick oven.
But the whole thing is like whoever operates the machine, you have to make your dough. You have to assemble all the pizzas in advance, put them like in the different refrigeration compartments, and then when it's actually punched in and ordered, then that like uncooked pizza goes to its heating thing, and then it pops out the hot pizza.
There's better ways.
I just don't know. I mean, I guess it's fun, right? Apparently,
wait, can I see a picture of this?
Yeah. Apparently, the word on campuses is that they love it. Now I don't know, because to me, Little Caesars is also a pizza ATM. They got hot right. readies.
And it's ready. Basically.
You shits are $5.
You don't have to touch a button. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of colleges, I feel like, have a tendency of acquiring really expensive shit to justify charging more people for college. And then they're like, look, so, they
yeah,
love
like
it.
Computers.
I had a ton of stuff at college that I'm like, I don't want this shit. Like
what? What was something you had that was like a waste of money?
They would really push. Oh, they so would just much. Push random products on you. Like they were pushing the naked juices. They would push those at my college and they would like
you
put
free
them
naked juices.
For, yeah, quote unquote. But then you would just spend through your meal plan faster, and then you would have to put more money on it. I don't know, everything related. Not, to college
I mean,
is
so much they have like colleges have like all these like entertainment shows that nobody goes to. I know because I performed there. Like they right. spend so much money at, like all of like the you know RAs get like a little budget to like buy snacks and stuff for their meetings that nobody comes up to, and they're just like they have bowls of pretzel bites and yeah. you know right. M&M's
like,
and things like that.
Why did you take them all out of the bag? Like, we could have saved some yeah, of these. Like, I don't know. They look better.
I know. I don't
the
know.
Bowls
it looks
good.
It looks good,
creating
right?
An atmosphere.
Like, yeah. There's so much. I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like if I was in college and this was a thing, I would probably get it. But now,
me, yeah,
I'm just looking at it. I'm like, that it, sounds. I'm disgusting.
Is it 24 hours? Is it like the good thing that you could get a pizza at like 3 a.m?
Yeah, until that shit's sold out, though.
Is it like right, a microwave heating in there? You think it's actually
unclear.
Pretty small considering like it's making a bunch of pizzas.
It's probably some kind of
like
convection
how many pizzas
it?
can it make?
Before I don't know. You have to yeah, right. It. Before some guy has to come and refill his handmade pizzas
and like,
the
is there like a pepperoni option? You know what I mean? Or is it just straight?
There's
cheese?
Options, I think. But again, this is where I'm like, it sounds like fun. But right. I don't know if I put my mind myself in the mindset of me being like 19 and hungover as fuck. Mm-hmm. Part of me would just eat a bunch of shit from 7-Eleven.
I was like, I would just go to 7-Eleven where the pizza is also hot and ready.
And what if you're in your room? No,
spicy
but the
bite.
Thing is, you know, you put this in like the residence
dorm.
Halls
yeah.
and the dorms. Like you just stroll out of bed and like go get a freaking pizza.
Yeah, or just deliver one.
You don't have to like leave. And yes, there are.
I guess it depends
some
on the
places that are open up late, but not like, a lot of places. A lot of colleges, they're in the middle of nowhere, so they're
I
all
that's
their
true.
Cafeterias close at 11.
College town food though, like yeah. half like when I'm in a college
cookies?
Town, I'm like, where do they go?
Right.
Where do they go?
Did you ever do insomnia cookies?
No,
I would let myself do that once a semester. That's like cookies they deliver to your dorm.
What?
They just deliver hot cookies to your dorm. It's called insomnia cookies.
Where was this? In Boston?
It was in Boston. I think it's like around though.
Yeah, they have it in New York.
They have Diddy Reese in UCLA.
It's
they have
good.
It.
Like, it's good.
They have it in New York. Yeah.
Yeah, I would just get. I remember, it, like, my friend went to U of O. We'd go to Doco, just like these nasty ass calzones. I'll get the most meat bomb zone. They call them zones. You know what I mean?
There's like apostrophe zone.
Yeah, cool.
Most meat so bomb zone, bruh.
Sick. Anyway, shout out to College Campus Foods. Also, shout out to Oscar Mayer. Who is hiring hot doggers, and I didn't know what a hot dogger was.
Wait, what is that?
So
I'm interested.
You get to basically drive a Oscar Mayer weenie mobile.
Shut up.
Around for, it's like
perfect.
A 1 year gig, full time. It's a job.
Longer than
what?
I wanted it to be,
it's
but okay.
It's a full time job for 1 year, okay? And basically what you do is you're part company spokesperson. So like if there's any kind of the event, they'll be like, hey, Jamie, you got to take the Wienermobile down to the Cal State Long Beach campus real quick to do an event.
That's amazing.
It's on you. I do media appearances. You do charity events. You do brand promotions. Quote, meet, M-E-A-T, and greets. Handing out Wiener whistles. And then also, this is where it gets a little bit involved. Pitching coverage
this is where
ideas.
It gets
pitching coverage ideas to local news outlets.
It's content. You
wow.
Got, you, I mean, I feel like where the Wienermobile goes, the news follows. I worked at a promotional hot dog truck for a while, but it wasn't Oscar
Mayer,
so
you
no
worked
one gave
at...
a shit. I got fired. But in college, I worked for the StubHub had a hot dog truck for a while,
uh-huh.
And they would just park outside of like basketball games and give away free hot dogs. I'd be like, have a
wow.
free hot dog. Have you heard of StubHub? And they'd be like, no. And
they're like, fuck you. And you're like, okay.
And then one day I tweeted, fuck this hot dog stand. And then my boss, and I got fired.
Damn.
But the Wienermobile,
well,
that's
makes sense.
Clout. The Wienermobile has clout.
Also, you would respect. Okay, so
let
me get this right. If I'm
I
interviewing
say,
you,
fuck the
I'd say, interesting. Jamie, I've asked around because, you know, everyone in the free promotional hot dog industry talks. And
I
was talking to my friend Craig at StubHub.
It was 7 years ago.
Okay, so you know what you know the incident. I'm
sorry,
referring to.
No, continue.
No, it sounds like you do. You said fuck this hot dog.
It was seven
truck.
Years ago. Yeah.
So, and you know, how am I to trust you with the Oscar Mayer brand?
I wasn't, I didn't have any, I didn't know what my mental health issues were 7 years ago. I was a kid. I didn't really, and also I would say that the stuff, no disrespect to your colleague, but lacks the prestige that the Wienermobile brings, which I would never in my life, you know, be. I'm a brand gal. I see a Wienermobile, I follow it.
All right, well, you know what? Hold on. Let me get on the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
Oh.
We found her. But apparently there's like 12, there's 12 open spots for this.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, that's me.
Hi, I'm sorry. Excuse me, what I say about you calling me Oscar? It's Mr. Meyer. I'm sorry, Mr. Meyer. Also, I just do want to touch on this. Did everybody see Star Wars in here?
Yes. Of course.
Okay. If you have not seen Star Wars, just cover your ears or also, just skip ahead. Also, this isn't really
see it.
Also, this isn't really spoilery because it's just so bizarre. All right. So freak. There is a
I am Babu freak.
There was a thread going on Reddit. I'm a Babu freak.
I'm a Babu freak.
Where are my Babu freaks Babu at?
Freak. Where's all my Babu freaks at?
This anonymous Redditor posted like a fucking thesis length post.
Of course.
Talking about basically that there is another cut of this most recent, what is it, The Rise of Skywalker?
Sure.
That J.J. Abrams had originally shot.
Okay.
And it's 3 hours long and way better than the what Disney did to it.
They're just Don't they Snyder always say this? It. Like, that was like the whole
exactly,
Snyder cut narrative, right?
Right? So this All whole right. thing, according to this post, this anonymous brave Redditor.
Right.
Who will not tell you any of the sources, but just trust him when he says
Got
that there's
it. Some... So he, basically somebody claiming to have worked.
Claiming to have known someone right. very close to...
To the production.
How, so yes, so one degree away.
K.K. Snabrams posted this.
That basically that in the original, the ending, here we go, spoilers, that there were... So there's a moment where Rey is hearing all these Jedi voices that J.J. Abrams had actually got people like Ewan McGregor and Samuel L. Jackson to physically be there to appear as Force ghosts.
Right.
But it was cut out possibly because of China.
What? Because and,
okay,
of China?
Okay, so what they were saying, it had something to do
Please?
With shades of blue, that there were approved shades of blue.
Actually, I think this is, China has a weird policy about like ghosts and things like that.
Sure.
There are certain movies that they don't allow into their country because they're like spiritual.
Right, and
in some
so
sense.
You sound like people that are replying to that, giving credence to this. Going,
Star Wars isn't even popular in China. What, like,
yeah, which is funny. It's, yeah. it's
well, that's isn't that partly why then?
No, because they say a lot of like even the beginning, like the sword fighting stuff, it just doesn't
they
interest.
Don't care.
It doesn't resonate culturally.
Right.
Like just like the Transformer films are like yes, giant robots, great, but for some reason like samurai adjacent things.
So interesting.
Yeah,
it was like number four. It like debuted at number four.
They don't care about Star Wars.
Another thing. Now this would upset you for the freaks in the building. Mm-hmm. Babu Frick was nearly cut.
No.
Because some of the executives at Disney feared of him being Jar Jar Binks 2.0.
Oh, no, they were
but
wrong.
But he's only in it for like
They're
two
idiots.
Seconds. He's
yeah.
so cute.
He wasn't Jar Jar Binks.
No, he was, even though he had like, look, great. People have vague ethnic accents who talk in broken sentences. Fine.
Yeah,
but he was so adorable.
But he's so little. He's so small.
Yeah, no.
Thing is,
little
not,
things.
He's not big.
Jar Jar was a mess. Hot mess. And he also
He was also a senator.
He was also dumb. Like it wasn't just how he spoke. It was like he was like tripping all the time.
Yeah, and like bumbling.
And like bumbling things.
Yeah,
it was and like
Babu Frick's a motherfucking hacker.
Yeah. Babu Frick's a hacker. He's like extremely smart.
Yeah.
And just like English is not his first language, so
yeah, maybe that's our xenophobia where we're like, man, can we trust Babu Frick? Can we trust him? I don't know. He's not really speaking right.
But
nah, that's fine.
But
that's just a language barrier.
Everyone who knows Babu Frick is like, listen.
They're like, yo.
Yeah.
He knows
he's like,
what
yo, freaking this Babu
doing.
Frick.
Yo, you should call him. You mean
you
Babu
lucky.
Fucks.
You're all about to become a
this
Babu.
This motherfucker
right.
gets it in. also, J.J. Abrams apparently wanted Finn and Poe Dameron to have a gay romance.
So
but that was also quashed by Disney.
Yeah. Well,
that's
so
those rumors
the
have been strolling for. Yeah.
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 I mean, what
so now,
happened with Finn?
Oh, I don't know.
We'll talk about this on my
podcast.
A whole
other, yeah. But so apparently that started off a whole, again, hashtag release the JJ cut campaign.
All right.
But there was a legit Star Wars leak expert. Sure. There was a dude who like does Star like who does this mm-hmm. who like leaked a lot of the major plot points before the film came out, and they were all accurate.
Okay.
He was like, dude, this is bullshit from top to bottom. Was like was his take on this guy doing the leak stuff. But now this is the thing where people are like in this post-truth fucking like era now where they're like not taking that as being like real, because J.J. Abrams, so in an interview, he was asked how he'd respond to Star Wars fans who were like disappointed about like the elements of the larger franchise story that had they've been left out of the current film and things like that. And he said, quote, they're right. The people who love it more than anything are also right. People are taking that to be like, you see, dude? He's letting us know, man.
What?
That was like a subtle signal that there is like another cut.
No, he's just saying however you like or interpret the film is correct for you, because we all get to have our own opinions.
Right.
I see where, like, I feel like it's coming from a place of like, it was the same thing with like the Snyder Cut shit where everyone's
Justice
like,
League.
It couldn't have been this bad. There has to be some galaxy brand explanation of why it turned out, like why we're this unhappy. Like it's just like too much faith in the person.
Yeah. Well, that's like, funny.
No, or the process of making a movie.
Well, right. And then the other thing that people said was they said that Disney wanted to make Rise of Skywalker bad on purpose because J.J. Abrams had signed a deal with Warner Brothers.
I love this theory.
That's fun.
I love the theory of the new trilogy. They wanted it to match the old trilogy, and they wanted the first one to be like pretty good and everybody loves it and is excited. The second one to be considered critically the best one, and then the last one to be like kind of a disappointment, but like some people love it because there's so much action in it, but it's like not as good as the other two.
Yeah, but I think you think Disney
pettiness? It is weird that it did turn out that way.
I liked The Force Awakens better than the last one.
Well,
for sure. I loved The Last Jedi.
I personally like A New Hope more than Empire Strikes Back.
Sure. I mean, look, those people, they're also right.
They're everyone's right. It's just, I don't know.
But Babu Freak, there was a whole stripper scene, I think, with him that they cut out.
Oh, well, now that, I believe, and I'm upset.
He was making it
clap. Babu Freak Hive is going to lose their shit.
The Babu Freak Hive.
Where's Freak Hive at?
Babu Freak.
So I don't know. I think, but also like the people's outrage over it reeks of people who have not been crushed by the entertainment industry and know like that, a lot of this is feasible.
It was going to happen no matter what, no matter what this movie was, there's always going to be people who are disappointed and people who,
like in my older age, I've learned to like just not get upset by like movies so much.
Yeah.
Like I used to,
like an adult.
Yo, that was cool. No, but I used to leave theaters
angry.
Hot.
Yeah.
Like fucking hot.
I was so angry at Avatar.
It'd also be at a time when like I was trying to get my shit going too, and I'm like, they make this shit.
Yeah.
I'm out here with these real ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about a fucking guy. It's about a Rasta who starts a poke restaurant called Pokemon. Anyway, so like the whole shit, I don't know.
How long have you had that joke in your
tip of your tongue?
I say that all the time. People don't know. Pokemon coming out soon, but apparently there's some licensing issues.
A roster.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I just also, I every franchise, I guess it's hard to accept that a movie could just be so bad. And that is what it is.
Did you guys think, I didn't listen to your episode about,
I don't think I was here to speak on it if they spoke on it.
How much did you not like?
Oh,
I didn't care. I don't care enough to say it was bad or good. Yeah. I'm like,
I didn't care for it, but then I also just started watching Star Wars movies 2 seconds ago. And then like a few days after I was like, I didn't like that. I forgot and moved on with my life like a grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the things that upset me most were just like the mechanics of screenwriting. And I was talking with your Bechdel cast co-host, Caitlin Durante, who has a master's in screenwriting, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Just how much of like the basic elements of storytelling were completely abandoned.
It's like messy, and I feel like it's trying to have it every which way, but it totally ignores the movie it's coming after.
Yo,
whatever.
I laughed out fucking loud when they kissed.
I laughed
so many times.
I like laughed, and I think people were like hot in the theater I was in.
People were mad.
I saw it opening night, and there were like so many people. My friend and I love Star Wars,
right?
And there were so many different parts where we just burst out laughing like pretty hard.
Yeah.
But my wife was like, I think you guys need to not laugh as hard. And I was like, but how can we not? It's, like, it's they funny, literally, you mean. It's like,
there were...
it's like now real spoilers.
Yeah.
Like Chewie dies, and then like 5 seconds later, he's back on screen, and just like, what? Like, okay. Why? Like, none of this matters. Like,
that was bad writing, too. Why did they tell us he was alive? Like, we should have found out at the same time Ray did. I don't know why also, they were like, oh, you know, and then,
you
like,
know, and
the
characters
reveal?
Don't? What? I'm
like, my man,
also,
I never saw two
bad.
Ships take off.
she does not feel bad. Like, she forgets that she killed a beloved character 2 seconds. It's a mess.
She healed him, so many stuff. I was just like, what is happening? I was like, truly. None of these powers.
I'm like, this
fucking parcel this, tongue. You're like, that's not even this franchise. Yeah. What are you doing? There, it was a mess, but it was funny to
I
watch.
I loved it.
There were Raylo stands at the second screening I saw. There was like a bunch of Raylo stands.
Like shippers
who, and then when they kiss, they go, what? They like lose their
There was applause.
They go crazy.
There was applause in my theater. People
I laughed.
Clapped.
I was like, hell yeah. Just fuck. Who gives a fuck?
Why
anymore?
Not?
People clap.
Yeah, they got blood on their hands.
I laughed
whatever.
When they did the switch. It was like, dead. He's dead. Nope. He's not. Nah, she's dead. Nope. Now he's dead. I was just like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's just too much. Anyway.
I the only thing that I genuinely, that stuck with me of like, that was bullshit, was just like, no Kelly Marie Tran whatsoever. They just left her to do paperwork with a pile of tennis balls that's supposed to be Carrie Fisher. You're like, that's not fair.
Oh, that, don't
that's
even
not
get
fair.
Me. Way to shoehorn in. Reeks of when Olivia Soprano in I think season 2 has to show up in random episodes because the actress had passed away.
You're
and it was like,
why?
Let's use these out of context shots to try and create some semblance of a narrative.
That's
here.
Not ghoulish to do. I mean, I guess there's no right way to do it.
Oof,
but it's just
scary.
They did Kelly dirty. Just
oh yeah, I mean they did so the whole thing. They did everything dirty. That's why like I had to go in with like in a delirium, just being like, woo-hoo, this is something else.
But then Babu Freak is on. And
Babu
I'm
Freak,
back,
baby.
And I'm back.
Babu fucks.
And I'm back.
All right. Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we almost didn't have a show today. You know, Jack pulling an audible on us. Where can people find you and follow you, support you, listen to you, watch you?
Yeah, please. You can follow me at John Braylock, JonBraylock on Instagram and Twitter. My podcast that I do with two of my friends called Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood, where we talk about movies with black leads and discuss them in the context of diversity and race in Hollywood. It's very fun if you like movies and you aren't racist. And
good, yeah.
Some
people be like, wait, hold on, man. Was this for woke people?
And then, Astronomy Club, the sketch show. It's my the sketch show that I'm a part of is on Netflix, and you can stream that whenever. If you have Netflix or if you have somebody's Netflix password, which most of us did.
Can learn about Resting Creep Face, Magical Negroes. I mean, it's got everything. The show's got everything.
It does.
Definitely check that out. Is there a tweet that you like?
Yeah. So this tweet is by Joe Reed, who is a critic. And he wrote, me, everybody bitches about the BAFTAs every year for some reason or another. I'm sure they're fine. And then he has a picture of an article that says Joker leads BAFTA Film Awards 2020 nomination.
I mean, it's just about a man who's cast out of society, you know.
Truly wild. We'll definitely be talking about that on our podcast.
God damn it.
What about you?
Oh. Yeah, sure. No, go ahead.
Jamie, what about you? What sayest thou about your, where can they find you and follow you and what's the tweet you like?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. You can listen to My Year in Mensa, which just came out last week. It's just 4 parts and then you never have to think about it again. That's the pro.
And it's, I think, the number one podcast on Earth right now, right?
It's number one. No, I'm kidding. It's number,
oh, it isn't?
No, it's like number a billion.
No,
but some people have listened to it and they liked it.
Not based on my handwritten podcast charts I just did.
Oh, you updated the charts?
I updated the charts.
Oh, you updated the charts.
Daily Zeitgeist, number a billion, though.
But you can listen to that pretty much everywhere, except Stitcher for some reason. I don't know why. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. Stitcher, get it together.
Get it together, Stitcher. People are tweeting me like, what about Stitcher?
You know why?
Stitcher?
They're suppressing
like,
the truth. That's what it is.
The thing is, they don't want Mensa has Stitcher in the palm of their filthy little hands. And then I'm going to promote a tweet that is self-serving, so sorry, but it's my dad's tweet.
Nice.
So the other day, I got to ride the Zamboni at the Staples Center. And it changed my fucking
life.
You
did?
I did.
During the game?
During the game. During between the second and third periods at the Kings game the other night, I finally, like, I wanna shout out, it's a show called Go Fact Yourself. It's on the Maximum Fun Network.
Oh, yeah.
They hooked me up with the guy who's in charge of, he's the ice manager. That's a job. And his name's Francois. Francois hooked it up. He got me and my boyfriend seats. He got me a Zamboni ride.
Oh, my God.
So I got to ride.
Did Jay Keith hook you up?
Jay Keith hooked it up. Yeah.
Jay Keith.
Helen Hong, they're incredible. So they hooked it up. I got to do it on Monday. And my dad is so proud. He's so excited about the Zamboni. So today he tweeted out the video of me riding the Zamboni. And he said, the hashtag NHL Bruins aren't practicing today, so here's a little bit of hockey-related performance art by my daughter, just to show how deep hockey roots run in this family.
Hey, baby. Would you say held you as a baby, Cam Neely or Ray Bourque?
Ray Bourque, baby.
Ray Bourque, baby.
Ray Bourque, baby.
Oh, wow. Damn, that's dope, though.
It was.
When are they going to let you drive that thing, though?
You got to get a license. But the guy was so nice. I made a rhinestone suit with a Zamboni on it. I was so excited.
Hell yeah. You know what we should do? I mean, that'd be, so I would watch that miniseries, like MTV Made, like how they used to do.
That's
but you wanted to be made into a Zamboni driver?
It's right? It would be simple.
And do the Stanley Cup, though.
That's
the ultimate.
That's prestige. Yeah.
Okay, what's a tweet? A tweet I like is from Reductress. Very, very simple. Everyone can relate. It says, wow. This woman can't masturbate unless she's on a deadline. Hey, procrastinators unite. My goodness. I remember, did that term come out? Like 2010 or something?
Procrastinate? I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah. It was it hit so hard. And I was like, oh, no. rather than look at my bleak financial prospects, I'd rather masturbate.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that tracks.
You masturbate to procrastinate.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
But at least, you know, you get something out of it.
Yeah.
we're both figuring it out.
Seeing the light. I see. I don't know why I was interpreting it backwards for
Yeah,
some
yeah, yeah.
Procrastinating masturbating.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. You can find me on my other podcast right here on the iHeart Network at 420 Day Fiance. With Sophia Alexandra, where we get high and talk about our favorite trash reality show, 90 Day Fiance. It's also very in-depth discussion. You know, we go on tangents, but we also talk about all kinds of socioeconomic things. It's very interesting. I can't recommend it enough. What else? You can also find us. Okay, we have some upcoming shows. Check the Twitters. Check the everything. January 25th, Gateway Theater, San Francisco, 8 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. One of those two. You can get those tickets at SF Sketchfest website. Also on January 30th, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon, at Mississippi Studios.
Look.
So get your tickets there for that one. And you might see some cool faces there, some cute faces.
I forgot we're performing at San Francisco Sketchfest as well.
So I forgot. I'll be there twice.
When are you performing? Jamie, go.
I'm doing Boston.
Too late. Okay.
Shit.
Wait, go.
Boston Miss Girl, January 21st, Bechdelcast 22nd.
Oh, shit. Definitely check that out.
Yeah.
Especially Boss Human's Girl, because this is the post Fringe edition too, right?
It's good now.
I thought it was good when
Girl,
I saw.
Parentheses, it's good now.
I saw it when it was. I saw it before Fringe. Haven't seen it after Fringe.
Oh,
thought it was great.
I have to check that out. January 24th, Astronomy Club is performing at 7:30. January 24th.
Where at?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Go to
SketchFest and look up Astronomy Club.
Yeah, find the venue.
Yeah. You can find. Oh, were you going to say something?
Oh, I'm doing shows in Philadelphia and New York in the next month, too. My website.
Fantastic. Check us out at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Okay? We have a Facebook fan page. We also want to let you know that Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get some shits for free. We also have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you. Where you can get all that info and also information on the song we're writing out on. We're going to write out on Bay Area legend, Durando. Okay? His music is fantastic. This is a track called Didn't I. You may recognize it, you may not. It's very soulful. It's got a little bit of heart, got a little bit of funk to it. Because let's keep our eyes on the skies. The Dr. Manhattan returns. With that, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow because it's a daily podcast. And actually, we'll see you in a little bit later today for a little bit of Nightgeist. But until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
You right now.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.